Thank you for listening to the Pursuit Church podcast. This is more than a podcast. Pursuit Church is a movement to connect to Jesus and make a difference. If you need prayer or would like to financially support our mission, reach out to us online at pursuitchurchsa.com. Now grab your headphones and get ready to dive into this week's message.
Let me just ask you a little quick question, and I'm not trying to be morbid or weird. How many of you guys have a will? How many have a will? Yeah, that's good. That's good. Not a lot of people do. And you know, I think when you're younger, you don't really think about that, right? I know when I was a younger woman, I didn't think much about that. I was just trying to get them kids raised up and out the house and school and to behave. So I wasn't worried about a will. But as you get older, you know, you start to accumulate some things in your life and you start building these relationships. You know, you kind of want to make sure that you're able to leave them or a blessing when you're leaving this world, right? And the best way to do that is to have a will drawn up to make sure that your last wishes are followed, right? It's called a last will and testament. However, as Pastor Bob and I have both experienced, a will is not always followed exactly the way the person who left it wanted it to be done. And when that happens, it usually brings a lot of burdens and pain. Well, you know, God has a will for your life as well. He does. He has a will. Now, it's not exactly the same as an earthly will. Like, for one thing, it's not just for after we die. God's will is for us right now. It's for eternity, too, but it's for us right now. But just like what can happen with a regular last will and testament, when God's will isn't followed, it can also lead to unnecessary burdens and pain in your life. And this is why it's important that we understand God's will. And you know, Jeremiah 29:11 sums it up really well. Did y'all bring y'all's Bibles this morning? Yeah. I hope y'all brought y'all paper Bible. Yeah. It's not just the weightiness of it, but it's the distractionlessness of it. Yes. You know, you don't get distracted with pop-ups when you brought a paper Bible. Yeah. This is what Jeremiah 29:11 says. This is God, and he says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for good and not evil, to give you a future and a hope." So when you look at that, the first thing you notice about God's will is what? That it's good, right? First of all, he has a will for your life, a plan for your life, and it's good. It's never meant to hurt you because it's not evil. It's good. God's will is so that you will have a future and hope. God wants the very best for us now and for eternity, forever. And you know, that sounds amazing, but the truth is, in this life, we struggle. We still struggle. And when that happens, it can be hard to believe that God's will is good or to even believe that God is good. And you know why? It's because we tend to link God's character to our circumstances. And that's a big mistake. That's a big mistake because circumstances change, but God never changes. His will for you is good. He is good. And I want you to understand this better. So today we're going to talk about God's will, and we're going to break it down into four areas. And you're going to see that they all really go together for his grand will. God's will includes these parts: his sovereign will, his moral will, his permissive will, and his personal will. Now, his personal will is his plan for your life specifically. So let's start with the sovereign will. God's sovereign will is his master plan. It's designed for all of creation, including mankind, to point towards his purposes. And it never changes, and it is unstoppable. In Isaiah 14:24, God said, "Surely as I have planned, so it will be. As I have purposed, so it will happen." So when God plans something, you can count on it happening. That's a fact. For example, God wanted a beautiful world, so he created the world. He said, "I'm going to create the world," and here we are. Creation is part of God's sovereign will. And you know what? It's still happening right now. Nothing can stop it. God wanted to create mankind for a relationship with him. So he did. Genesis 1 tells us the whole story. However, Satan has done everything possible to try to thwart that relationship with God from the very beginning. It started when the devil tempted Eve. She fell for it. Adam fell for it. Sin entered the world. And the reason Satan did that was because he wants to create separation between us and God. You see, Satan knows that sin separates us from the Lord. So he tempts us to sin to get us out of God's will. But there's always a but. But God, God's sovereign will cannot be stopped. So you know what? God handled sin. He handled sin. He sent his son Jesus to redeem us from our sin. All you got to do is put your faith in Jesus, repent. In other words, turn all the way around, go the other direction from what you were doing, repent from your sin, receive his forgiveness. Your sins are forgiven and your relationship with God is restored. And we call it salvation. And it's God's will. 2 Peter 3:9 says, "The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but he is patient towards us." God is patient with us, y'all. That's why he gives us second, third, fourth, 50,000, however many chances you need while you still have breath. God is being patient with you because he doesn't wish anyone to perish, but he wants all to reach repentance. Jesus restores our relationship with God through salvation. However, sin has consequences. Sin has consequences, y'all. And this is where God's moral will comes in. Y'all tracking with me this morning? I know this is a lot. I know it's a lot. But God's moral will is the ethical content of his overall sovereign will for mankind. And all that means is it's how we're supposed to live our lives, and it's revealed in the Bible. Y'all brought y'all's Bibles. Open up to 2 Timothy. That's in the back. I'll wait for you. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy's almost to the end of the Bible, but this is what it says. It says, "All scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and training in righteousness." Now, righteousness is basically a right standing with God. That's what it means. God's moral will is outlined in scripture. That's what this verse tells us. And it doesn't change. It's not going to change for culture. It's not going to bend to whatever the current public opinion is. It's the same now as it was in the very beginning of time. It's not one of those things where we get to say, "Oh, well, that was back then. This is now. Things are different." No, no, we don't get to do that. Yet the world we live in is trying to do that. It's been trying to do that all along. Culture says that the moral will of God changes with time. For example, the world we live in says, if you want to change your gender, you can. No, no, that's not in line with God's will. You see, God says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made in his image, just the way he made us. Y'all, I'm preaching today. So buckle up. God did not make us mistake when he created us with the gender we have. He knew what he was doing. But see, culture rebels against God. And guess what? There are consequences for that. Look at all the problems associated with worldly thinking. I mean, look around. People need to stop playing, y'all. God's moral will is what it is, and it does not change. Culture says, "Oh, it's okay to hate people when they don't think like you do." No, it's not. No. People would be wilding out. No, it's not. Because you know what? The Bible says, Jesus says that we are to love one another. We're to be patient with each other, and we're to prefer others over ourselves. It doesn't say it's okay to speak evil of people or hate or even hurt those who disagree with you. Amen. God's moral will is not a la carte either, y'all. Yeah. This ain't Luby's, where you go in and you get whatever you want and you just throw the rest aside. No, 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 no. The fact is, God's moral will for our lives is actually the opposite of what the world does. The world says, you know what, you do you. Whatever you think is okay, just be happy. And you know what God says? God says, be holy. Amen. The Apostle Paul tells us this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It says, for this is the will of God. Don't get much clearer than that. This is the will of God, that you be sanctified, separated, and set apart from sin. Well, sanctified is a church word, and it means holy. In the Greek translation, holy means set apart, different, sacred, dedicated to God. So to be real clear, God's moral will is actually for us not to be like the world we live in. It's countercultural, y'all. John 17:16 says that if you belong to Jesus, you are not of this world. We might be in it, but we're not supposed to be like it. We're not meant to act like the sin-filled, fallen world that we live in. We're not meant to talk like them. We're not to spend our money the way they do. We are not meant to be driven by the values of this world. We are to be set apart. So you know what? Might be time to take inventory of your life. I mean, if you want to be in God's will, there might be some places that you need to stop frequenting. Stop going there. Stop streaming some of those shows you be watching. Look at your playlist. What's going on there? Y'all doing the same thing the world does, that's not holy. That's not set apart. And if you're doing that, you're not in God's will. Keep breathing. It's okay. I'm gonna keep going. Let me just say this. We can't expect the fruit that comes from living for Jesus without the faithfulness that actually brings the fruit. Proverbs 13:15 says, the ways of the transgressor is hard. Transgression, living against. Living contrary to God's will, it's hard. Yes. And not only that, it's never going to work. It's never going to work. It's only when you surrender every part of your life to God that things will get better. You got to stop fighting him and learn to walk with Jesus instead of against him. You know, Isaiah 1:19 says that if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. In other words, faithful obedience brings fruit, the goodness of God operating in your life. But that doesn't come from living by the world standards. It only comes when we follow God's moral will. And I'm going to tell you, it's not always going to be easy. In fact, when you make a decision to live according to God's will, it is going to cost you. Yep, that's right. Depend on that. Count on it right now. And that takes me to the next aspect of God's will, his permissive will. This has to do with the free will that God gives all of us. And it specifically deals with those things that God might not have caused, but he allowed it to happen. When you start to live in God's will, don't be surprised if it costs you some relationships. Not because you did anything wrong. It's because God gave us all free will. And when you decide to go all in for Jesus and do your best to stay in God's will, any relationship that you are in that is based on sin is not going to work for you. You're going to have to cut some ties. And you do have the freedom to choose. You get to choose God's will. Remember, his permissive will allows us to choose. You get to choose God to love him with your whole heart, soul, and mind, or stay in that sinful relationship. And of course, God wants us to choose him, but he's not going to force us to do anything. This is God's permissive will. You see, God didn't create us to be robots or puppets. He wants us to choose him, choose his ways. And unfortunately, some people don't. They don't do that. And that's exactly why there's a lot of pain in the world that we live in. People get to choose, and sometimes they make the wrong choice. And I think it's because people tend to live their lives as if their choices don't affect them, don't affect anybody, don't affect them personally, or they don't care how their choices affect other people. And that's because of an unregenerate heart, a heart that has not been freely given to Jesus. And this is why people think they can do whatever they want to do. They think as long as they're okay with it, then it must be okay. But if it's against God's will, it's not okay. It's never okay to live outside of God's will, because that is called sin. And sin always brings bad consequences. Every wrong thing that we have done will catch up with us. And the bad things that other people do sometimes affect us too. Evil and sin exist because we live in a fallen world that Jesus has not fully redeemed yet. And God gives us free will. Now, the good news is God can redeem the bad things that have happened to us. That's good news. God is a God of redemption. You know what redemption is? Back in the day, they used to have these S&S green stamps. I'm totally dating myself here, but I don't care. They used to have S&S green stamps. You go to the grocery store, they give you little stamps. You go to the S&S store, and you get a book, and you put your stamps in there. And after you collect so many stamps, you can redeem the book for something. That's how Jesus redeems us. He takes the old and brings us new. God can redeem the evil, the bad things that have happened to us, whether we caused it or someone else did. His permissive will may not stop the bad things from happening, but he can redeem it. In Genesis chapter 37, there's a story of a man named Joseph. You can open it up and read it, but read it later at night. It's a big story. There are some wild stories in the Bible. Y'all, it's scandalous. Anyway, Joseph was his father's favorite son. Let's just start with that. That is always going to cause problems. When you got a favorite kid and you got a bunch of them, it's going to be a problem. You don't get to say, "You're my favorite." And you got to watch it if you act like that's your favorite. I know. I have three daughters, and two of them think they're my favorite. I'm like, y'all keep on thinking that. Ain't nobody going to know. Nobody's ever going to know. I'm taking it to my grave. I don't have a favorite. Anyway, Joseph was his dad's favorite, right? Well, he had all these brothers, and that made them jealous. In fact, it made them mad. And it even got to the point where they were so angry that they acted on that, and they tried to get rid of Joseph. They literally sold him into slavery. Let's make a buck off of him. We're going to get rid of him. Really? They sold him into scandalous. They sold him into slavery. And when they did that, their sin caused Joseph a lot of pain. They sinned, not Joseph. And Joseph ends up in this really bad situation. He gets falsely accused. They throw him in prison. But none of that was God's plan for Joseph's life. But God allowed it to happen because, you know what? God has a bigger plan than what we see. God had a bigger plan. There was a famine that was going to come to Egypt. God saw it coming. And sure enough, while Joseph was in prison, a series of really weird things started happening, and Joseph got released from prison. And not only that, he was eventually set up to be the second in command of the entire Egypt, of all of Egypt. Joseph was put in command of that. Well, you know what? Because of his authority and power, he was able to save his family from that famine. The famine came. Joseph was in power by then. The devil meant evil for Joseph's life, but God took what the enemy meant for evil and turned it around, not only for Joseph's favor, but to bless his family. And all of that was for God's glory. This is an example of God's permissive will, how it played out in Joseph's life. And there will be times in this life when other people exercise their own free will, and it will negatively impact you. It's going to bring you pain and suffering even when you didn't do anything wrong. But I want to encourage you. God can still redeem that. You know, I had a really weird childhood. I'm not going to go into all the details, but there's really only one time in my life when I remember my mom really playing with me. And when she did, it was a sketchy little game that actually put my life in danger. You know, the truth is, my mom didn't want any more children after my brother was born. And if you knew my brother, you would understand that, okay? He was wild. I'm talking about feral, wild. This boy was always wilding out. You know what he would do when we were little? We kind of lived in this acreage, middle of nowhere. This boy would take off early in the morning and disappear for the whole day. Nobody knew where he was, what he was doing. I don't even think anybody was checking on him. And then he'd come back right around dinner time, and he'd be all dirty, smelling like a goat, maybe full of poison ivy or mud, and carrying some kind of dead animal he shot with his BB gun. He was wild. So here I come along, and I'm pretty sure my mother was completely overwhelmed by then. And you know, I don't know what it was, but all my life I heard things like, "You were a mistake. You weren't supposed to be here." And, you know, I'm not disrespecting my mother. God bless her heart. She's in heaven. I'm going to see her again. But, you know, she didn't mean it in a bad way. She didn't say it to intentionally hurt me, but she still said it. And that cut deep. That cut deep in my heart. And I grew up feeling rejected, unworthy, a bother, unwanted. My mom chose to speak death over me, and that led to a lot of emotional pain that I carried for decades, y'all. But there's always a but. There's always a but with God. When I gave that to Jesus, he swooped in, took all that mess away, redeemed it. God redeemed all of that. And he has intentionally, yes, give him praise. He redeemed it. I'm standing up here sharing his word with y'all, hello. God can redeem anything. And you know what? He did. He intentionally, over the years, put people into my life that I was able to minister to who had dealt with the same emotional baggage I had. God's redemption will always bring beauty for your ashes, whether it's somebody else's choices that hurt you or whether it's something you did. You just got up in there and messed up stuff. God can always redeem it. He can always redeem it. God will use it all if you will let him. And let me tell you this. This is a cool part about God. If you give that to him, your experience, what happened to you, will most likely be woven into your purpose in this life. And that's God's personal will, his personal will for your life. It's a very specific design and plan for your life. And it's different for every single one of us except for one thing. And that's salvation. Remember, sin separates us from God. So if we're going to be able to walk in his will, it starts with salvation. Because Jesus didn't just die to save you from something. He died to save you for something.
Yeah, say that again. That's good.
Jesus died to save you for something. And that's a life that honors God and points others to Jesus. Ephesians 2:10 says that we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance before you were ever born, prepared in advance for us to do. Now, that word handiwork is also translated into masterpiece. And the Greek translation says it is beautiful. A masterpiece is beautiful. It's brilliant. You are meant to be in a relationship with Jesus because God has something for you to do. And this is what the Bible calls good works. Now, let me clarify. We're not saved by good works. We are saved for good works. And you know what? It starts the moment you're saved. At salvation, God does not make you better. He makes you new. He makes you into a new creation, and God already lined up things for you to do. Let me give you an example of what I mean. Say, you know, you get saved and you're at work and you're talking with a coworker, right? And they're telling you some of the things that they've been struggling with. That is what I call a divine appointment. God lined that up. You know what? You are in the perfect position right there in that moment to pray with them. God has specific things for you to do when you give your life to Jesus. And here at Pursuit Church, we know this. We understand it. That's why we're always inviting you to get involved here. We encourage you to step into that purpose and serve others here in your church community. It is literally part of God's will for your life. Seriously. Jesus designed his church. This is a church of Jesus. He designed us to minister to each other. It's not just for a few of us to minister. It's for all of us to get involved, serving one another. Remember, God's moral will is found in Scripture. And the Bible says what? Serve one another. Amen. Let me just say that living in God's will is the best thing that you can ever do. My own life got so much better when I started following God's will. Right. Stop trying to do what I want to do. Yeah, so some of y'all are facing some of the same issues over and over, and you're wondering why. Well, check to make sure you're aligned with God's will. Start with that. Matthew 6:33 says to seek first God's kingdom, then he'll take care of all the rest. And walking in God's will is the textbook definition of seeking first God's kingdom. You know, God is intentional. He's intentional. Look at the sky and you will see that. It is so majestic. Last night, I sent my granddaughter a picture of the sunset because I was just floored by the colors. There's not even that many colors in a crayon box. He's so intentional and so creative. It's not an accident that this world that we live in has the exact amount of nitrogen, oxygen, all these other gases that are just the right amount to sustain life. God did that. And then he created you. God willed for you to be born. Somebody needs to know that your parents might not have wanted you here, but God did, and you're here. You're here. God willed it. Part of his sovereign will that you are here and you are here. You're not going to stop God's sovereign will. And you're not a mistake. You are not a mistake. As a matter of fact, if there's somebody here and you've been told that you weren't wanted or that you are a mistake, I rebuke that lie from the devil right now in the name of Jesus. You are intentionally made and created in the image of God Almighty. You are not an accident, an incident, or a mistake. Do not receive that. Do not receive that. God plans you. He loves you. And you are here because of his sovereign will. God's sovereign will be done. It cannot be stopped. God has a plan and a purpose for your life. He wants you to accept Jesus, to live for him and obey him so that your life will be rich. It'll be full and be abundant. And I'm not just talking about material stuff. Rich in peace, rich in joy, rich in friendships, community. Community is so important, y'all. Even if you've made some bad choices and you're not where you want to be in this life, God can still redeem that. And if someone else's bad decisions cause you pain and suffering, God's going to redeem that too. He knows what happened. He knows what happened. And God still has a plan for your life. Sin doesn't have to get the last word, y'all. Sin does not have to get the last word. God will redeem the pain of your past. And you know what? That hurtful thing is probably going to be the very thing that God will use to propel you into your purpose in this life. Amen? Will you bow your heads? Y'all, Jesus delivered us and he saved us. He called us to lead a consecrated life, a life set apart, a life of purpose, not because of our work, because we could do nothing to earn that, but because of God's own purpose and grace, God's amazing grace, the undeserved favor which he has given all of us in Christ Jesus before the world began. This is the word of the Lord. Lord, I pray that you open our eyes to your will. I pray that everyone here will understand that you have a purpose for their life. Thank you for creating us with such detail and for a very unique purpose. I pray we all fulfill your purpose for our life. Lord, I pray that if there's anyone here that thinks that things are too late for them, it's gone too far, they're